Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Jessica Tai, and in for Greg Metzig, it's Adam Roberts.
Well, we talked a lot about the big Packers game tomorrow. Packers versus Bears, you've got the rivalry, the possibility that we go back to first place, hopefully.
That would be nice.
But there's another big story out there in the sports world that also comes to a culture story as well because of the person who's involved. Bucks megastar Giannis Antetokounmpo finally breaking his silence in the wake of rumors he wants to be traded. So we're going to dive into that and give you a little bit of what he had to say coming up. But first, some of the top two stories right now.
Here's your top two at two on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, the case is a long way from over. That's a message from the defense team from Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan. The jury came back with a split verdict. That's rare. Guilty on the obstruction charge, the most serious one. That's a felony. The jury found Judge Dugan did obstruct federal agents trying to make an immigration arrest inside the Milwaukee County Courthouse in April. The jury found Dugan not guilty on the concealment charge, which is a misdemeanor. Defense attorney Stephen Biskupic questions that split decision.
But that's why we asked for the post-trial briefing. Judge hasn't set a sentencing date, so obviously he's going to take this seriously as well. And I would just say the case is a long way from over.
Dugan faces up to 5 years in prison at sentencing. Meanwhile, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss just put out a statement today saying if Judge Dugan doesn't resign immediately, the Assembly will begin impeachment proceedings.
Number two, we are still waiting at 2:11 this afternoon for the full release of the Jeffrey Epstein files, which were required under a bill recently signed in Washington to be fully released in their entirety by today. But Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, earlier this morning on Fox News, seemed to indicate while many files will be released, not all of them will, citing privacy concerns.
I expect that we're going to release more documents over the next couple of weeks. So today, several hundred thousand. And then over the next couple weeks, I expect several hundred thousand more.
Meanwhile, CBS News reporting earlier this afternoon, a partial release was expected at 2 p.m. Central today. So that has come and gone. And that list has not yet come out. More from Scott McFarland, justice correspondent.
Democrats have been critical of the Trump administration on this from the jump, and they're saying that it's possible they may try to effect some legal action to try to force the faster release of whatever isn't disseminated today. And you've seen some Republicans who are behind this legislation, including Thomas Massie of Kentucky, emphasize that he thinks they have no choice but to do the full release today.
Meanwhile, House Republican leaders had canceled votes set for today, advancing a holiday recess, which has raised questions from Democrats regarding timing, GOP leaders calling it routine year-end business. And by the way, because, of course, you can bet on everything these days, the markets are showing low odds of the files dropping by today again, as was required by that bill signed recently in Washington. So, still awaiting word on when a full or partial list related to Jeffrey Epstein will be released, as has been mandated with a deadline of today.
Real quickly, I was telling you how Assembly Speaker Robin Voss put out a statement today saying if Judge Dugan doesn't resign immediately, the Assembly will begin impeachment proceedings. Mm-hmm. Well, we had a little bit of that. I just right now, just minutes ago, actually, while I was doing that story, got from his team the full enlarged statement. And at the very bottom, it says, Wisconsinites deserve to know their judiciary is impartial and that justice is blind. Judge Hannah Dugan is neither, and her privilege of serving the people of Wisconsin has come to an end. That from Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. It is 2:13. Coming up next, what did Giannis have to say about all those rumors? He is finally talking about it. Bucks megastar Giannis Antetokounmpo finally breaks his silence in the wake of rumors he wants to be traded. Remember last week when we had Bucks president Peter Fagan on Midday? I asked him, why doesn't Giannis just come out and address the rumors himself? Because it could help. Well, now he has. Giannis says he didn't hear about the initial report that he and his agent had started conversations with the Bucks about his future and whether it was best to stay or go. But he said, look, my agent can talk to whoever he wants. It doesn't mean I'm talking about a trade. Yana says he is still locked in.
If my agent is talking to the Bucks about it, he's his own person. He can have any conversation he wants about it. That doesn't, at the end of the day, I don't work for my agent. My agent works for me. And there's going to be conversation that's going to be made between him and the Bucks and him and his other players and him and other teams and other GMs, executives around the league. It's something that we can't control. But at the end of the day, I personally have not had the conversation with the Bucks. I'm still locked in on my teammates. Most importantly, locked in on me getting back healthy.
Giannis is still out right now, injured with a calf strain. So he is focused on getting healthy and helping his teammates from the sidelines until he's back on the court. One thing he made clear, though, is that rumors do not impact his work.
It doesn't affect my work. It doesn't affect my relationship with my teammates. It doesn't affect my relationship, most importantly, with my coach. It doesn't affect my relationship with the GM. So it doesn't really bother me because they know what I'm about. You know, everybody that talk about me, they really don't know me. And if they knew me, they'd probably call me, text me, and talk to me about it before they say something that they believe. But people that know me, you know, we have conversation. I've had a conversation with my coach. I've had a conversation with my GM. Have conversation with my guys in the locker room. So I'm just staying locked in, and I'm just telling them the same thing. Like, right now, we cannot be worrying about what the rumors are. Like, talk about rumors and headlines, and which, hey, I appreciate. I know you guys are in media. I appreciate all this. It's part of the game. But at the end of the day, we fight for our lives. Like, we got to win the game. You know, so rumors won't help us win the game or, you know, or anything else. We just got to focus on basketball. How can we be better? How can we learn how to win the game? Like, what it takes to win the game? Because I don't think anybody in this locker room or in this organization don't want to win games. We got to figure out how to win games, learn how to win games.
He does sound a little frustrated there, doesn't he?
Yeah, I picked up on that, especially right there at the end.
And you can't blame him. I mean, he's a winner. He wants his team to win, and the Bucks are losing right now. In fact, they haven't won two games in a row since October.
Mm.
It's been rough. Giannis says the team is full of guys who want to win, but their character is being tested right now, and he's being tested right now.
My legacy is on the line, bro. This I feel every single day when I walk in here. Like, every single day I go out there and I'm not able to help my team win, I feel like I'm being tested. And so when I'm being tested, everybody goes back to what they know best. And what I know best is to work hard.
Well, Giannis says the trade rumors don't impact his work. He did admit they impact his teammates. He said the rumors also take a toll on his family. Giannis says he wants the rumors to stop, but does he think they will? No.
I think when people see cracks, they see opportunity to fit in through those cracks. And now I understand it. You know, it's part of the game. It's part of winning. You know, you gotta make the right moves and to create, you know, the best chance for your organization to compete and win a championship. So I get it. You know, if I was from the other side, I'd probably, and I was an executive, probably do the same thing. I'm like, eventually you're gonna break. Like, we're gonna keep on calling you, and if the team is not doing well and not performing the standards that you guys think it should, we're going to keep on calling you until you, like, say, okay, let's get it done. That's how it works, you know, in business. That's what I do in business, right? So I just got to be consistent, applying pressure consistently. And eventually somebody's going to break and going to, you know, kind of give in to what you want, right? So do I hope it stops? 1,000%, because it takes a toll on me too, mentally, and on my family. My wife sees it, my mom sees it. It's like, oh, are we going to, New Orleans? No, that's not happening. But and it takes a toll on my teammates, which I don't like. I really don't like.
That's something that I feel like everybody can relate to, whether you are a basketball fan or not, the impact that it's having on his family. Like, his wife sees these reports, you know, and think about all the kids they have, and then his mom, and they're like, wait, is this legit? Are we going somewhere? Are we packing up and moving?
I always think about, you know, when you're a loved one related to an athlete and going about your day, having to deal with the prying questions from people just out on the sidewalk. Goes, what's the latest? You know, you come on, you can tell me. Like, that's got to be extremely mentally taxing.
Yeah. Bottom line, Giannis says he is locked in. He's here in Milwaukee and he wants to win. The Bucks, though, they are not winning right now. They are 11th in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks need to get back to winning.
I want to win the game and I want to go back home and have a nice piece of steak. I want to watch some Netflix, watch some reality TV show, and then come back, get my shot, get my body ready, and get ready for the next game. That's what winning is about. You just keep on doing it again, over and over again.
Holiday travel is expected to break records this year, with today projected to be the busiest at the airport. According to flight tracking tool FlightAware, as of this afternoon, so right now, more than 5,000 flights across the country are delayed and nearly 500 are canceled. Meanwhile, AAA projects more than 122 million people will travel at least 50 miles between tomorrow and January 1st. CBS's Lilia Luciano has more from Newark.
We can expect crowds to get a lot bigger. I'm looking around. I'm not seeing very long lines. I was looking at the chart where you can start seeing the delays. That is not severe, but that's not the case for other airports in this area because of wind conditions. LaGuardia delays are right now over 1 hour, and JFK over 147 minutes. That's longer than 2 hours.
So I checked out Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport for you to see. Didn't see any cancellations right now, so that's great news. I do see a number of delays, though, when it comes to arrivals and departures. That can be for various reasons. So certainly, if you are traveling today, look ahead. Do you do that? I'm always good about that. I always want to know. I think there was one time I didn't look, and then sure enough, it was delayed a little bit, and I was like, oh, man.
But. So I have basically flown Delta almost exclusively for several years.
Got
the Delta Fly app. This is not an ad. It is a good app. And I like that if the morning of, I start getting updates right away. We were actually just doing a little early holiday travel, my wife and I, down to visit our in-laws in Houston. And so not only did we fly into George Bush Airport, but also Hartsfield in Atlanta, notably the busiest airport in the entire world. And I will say, they do run a clean, tight ship down at Hartsfield, but
yeah,
it's still chaotic.
It's just so many
people.
Imagine.
Mm-hmm. Compared to a Milwaukee Mitchell, where we say it over and over and over again, it's one of the easiest processes usually to get in. And then when you come back to recombobulate, if you know, you know. I will say,
we
though,
know and we love it.
I will say, though, George Bush Airport in Houston, going out, and we had a red eye pretty early in the day, like 5 a.m. It was a long security line, and I remember seeing videos during the government shutdown at George Bush in Houston where people were waiting 4-5 hours to get through TSA. Didn't wait that long. They were very efficient about getting you through the line. But as holiday season now picks up here, and you've got, as we mentioned, I think yesterday, those gifts that you're taking through security.
Don't wrap them.
If they have to spend time unwrapping the presents, that starts to build up. And even if you pre-check, still got to make sure those presents aren't wrapped.
So Sunday, when I was coming back from Denver, because we went out to go watch the Packers game. So we're coming back after that rough loss.
Yeah.
Rough loss. I mean, the first half was good. Second half was bad. And then we had so many injuries as well. So you can imagine, on our flight, we were flying Southwest. We're waiting there. And there's a number of people who went to the game. You can see everybody in the Packers gear. And I had my Packers zip up. And I had a green scarf that's got a little, like, gold G for the Green Bay Packers on it. So it was just kind of funny to look around at everybody. But all of a sudden, it's getting later and later and later, and they didn't make an announcement, but it was definitely past the time where we should have been boarding, so we knew we were going to be behind. And it was funny because I thought, oh my gosh, you have these sad Packers fans just waiting to get on the plane and go home. But I think some people were just so down about it. I don't even think they realized that we should have already been boarding. So then all of a sudden they came on and said, oh, you know, sorry for the delay. We're going to be boarding here shortly, yada, yada, yada. But it was amusing.
You had a few interesting Packers-related flight stories recently between that and then the flight attendant saying, up Bears, top team in the north.
Oh, my
and,
gosh.
Well,
that
surprise,
was
surprise.
That was hilarious. He was bold. He was brave. If you don't know what we're talking about, that one, you can check out my social media page. That was I was coming back from Florida for that game, and that was right before the Bears-Packers game, which, by the way, tomorrow, here we go again.
Yes, ma'am.
Packers versus Bears in Chicago tomorrow night, the big rivalry game. If we win, we will be back up in first place.
Let's go.
After years of legal battles, sealed records, and intense online speculation, the Justice Department is releasing what a senior DOJ official says are several hundred thousand documents tied to the investigations of convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Epstein's ties to the rich and powerful and his death by suicide in federal custody have fueled conspiracy theories for years. Now a massive trove of records is becoming public. Sorting through it all is a huge task. ABC News Justice correspondent Alex Mallon is part of the team digging into those files. Alex joins us now with what we know and what may finally come to light. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, great to be with you guys.
So what exactly is being released today, and did you just get the first batch?
We actually have not. They have not been yet posted, although we did expect, based on sources that we were speaking to, that they could be posted as soon as 3 p.m. I mean, given this is expected to be such a vast trove of documents, I mean, we heard the number two official with DOJ, Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, say earlier today and in an interview later this afternoon with ABC that he expects there's going to be hundreds of thousands of files that are posted to the website today. He says that hundreds of thousands more will be posted in the coming weeks. And now that those comments actually, though, have earned him a lot of rebuke from people on the Hill, lawmakers, both Republicans and Democrats, who say that the letter of the law that was passed by Congress 30 days ago mandated that the Justice Department had to release the entirety of its files by today. Today was the final day that they were supposed to have all those files. Now, it's not clear what recourse, you know, the lawmakers may have because there's not really an enforcement mechanism in that law. But real stern comments from lawmakers that we've been hearing who are outraged that the Justice Department is still kind of dragging its feet on this.
So, Alex, you mentioned you had heard from a source that you should probably count on 3 p.m. That's 3 p.m. Eastern time because we're on Central Time, 2:42. So the fact that you have not received those documents yet, that first batch, are you thinking anything into that, or is it just that there are a lot of documents here and maybe it's delayed?
I mean, I really think it's got to be attributable to the fact that there's such a massive file that they're trying to get online, and you know, it's unclear what testing they may have done. Again, it's kind of important to point out that there was nothing that restricted the Justice Department over the past 30 days from doing a rollout of these files. There was nothing that suggested that they should wait all until the last day of this deadline. And we heard from Deputy Attorney General Blanche that he says that it's because that there's just so many. I mean, hundreds of thousands, maybe over a million files in total, that at least 180 lawyers with the Justice Department have been poring over trying to make various redactions regarding victims' names. And just to kind of clear up the speculation, I think that a lot of people have in their minds, Deputy Attorney General Blanche told our Chief Justice correspondent, Pierre Thomas, that there has been no order in his word to redact the name of President Trump or any other high-profile individual who associated with Epstein.
So then, Alex, what legal recourse could come if that deadline is missed? Because you have Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer accusing the administration of filing some sort of cover-up on all of this as this deadline is here. But what sort of legal recourse could actually come?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question because the law itself really does not pave the way for there to be any kind of, you know, proceeding that's immediately kicked off. I think that what you could see, we've heard from Democrats saying, you know, that they're weighing their legal options. That could be in the form of a federal lawsuit. You know, what we saw similar to when the Trump administration just declined to enforce that TikTok ban that was passed almost, you know, over a year ago now. That there is a law in the books right now that says that TikTok should not be operating in the U.S., but it is continued to operate just based solely on the, you know, jurisdiction of the administration saying that it does not have to enforce that law. So whether they just kind of give a similar justification here for not releasing these files, then it just becomes down, it just boils down to whether there's enough pressure from lawmakers on Capitol Hill to really, force the administration to release all these documents in their entirety.
Can you walk our fans through the process for reviewing hundreds of thousands of documents? I know I've got documents out in the morning. I've got my highlighter here. And sometimes I'm going through like 40 pages, 50 pages. But we're talking about hundreds of thousands of documents in this case.
Yeah, and we're also talking about potentially thousands of pictures, and you'd have to go through each picture to make sure that they don't have, you know, reference or a face of a victim that was maybe one of the people victimized by Jeffrey Epstein and his convicted associate Ghislaine Maxwell. We've heard from the Justice Department previously, there's also potentially thousands of videos at issue in this case file. I mean, it really is hard to imagine the amount of work time that is being dedicated to this. I mean, when you think about 180 lawyers, largely from DOJ's National Security Division, who've been tasked with this rather than doing their day-to-day jobs of, you know, ensuring that the country is safe from threats to the homeland. I mean, it's just really remarkable the amount of time that's being poured through these. And I think back just to, you know, when we were dealing as reporters with the release of Hillary Clinton's emails in advance of the 2016 election, we had a dedicated team stood up of about 20 reporters who were going through those over a course of several weeks. And that was just 40,000 emails that were at issue there. We're talking potentially north of a million here. I mean, just it's really going to be like finding a needle in a haystack when you're looking at, you know, what documents might be highlighted by certain people or other people across the internet. It's really going to be a hard task, I think, kind of insurmountable just in my mind at this moment.
And in the political aspect of things, you have House Republican leaders yesterday canceling votes that had been scheduled, so that advanced their holiday recess again a day before this bill deadline set in a bill for today to get these files out. Is the timing coincidental here, or is something more at play?
Well, I mean, I think that you've seen from especially House Speaker Mike Johnson, he suffered a big defeat, you know, trying to prevent this from ever getting to the floor. He basically closed down the House of Representatives for over a month just to prevent this discharge petition. He didn't swear in a Democratic member who had been, you know, lawfully elected to her position because she would have been the final vote to get this bill onto the House floor. And then you saw the administration, which did vehemently oppose this, then backtrack after it, you know, overwhelmingly passed both chambers of Congress, and then they said that they did support it. But just based here on the Justice Department where I'm currently sitting, I mean, this has been nearly 300 days since Attorney General Pam Bondi went to the White House, had those binders that included, you know, no new information, and said that she had an Epstein client list sitting on her desk waiting to be released. It's just been a kind of cascading series of obfuscations going back and forth over whether they were going to ever see these materials released. And now, you know, it may be in the hands of a technical difficulty where we may not even see these files by the end of the day. Who knows?
Well, it's funny that you say that, because I was just about to ask you, can we just continue to talk to you until possibly our show is done and you get them and you can say, okay, they just came in, I got them?
I do have a 350 hit, but otherwise, you know, I would love to be sitting here with you guys and just hitting refresh all day.
Right. Okay. One more quick question before we let you go so you can get to that other hit. What is the first thing that once you actually get those documents that you're going to be looking for? Is there one thing that you're just going to be paging through being like, I'm trying to find this?
I mean, there's so much in these documents that could be revealed that actually could give really great insight into Jeffrey Epstein's, you know, past. I think that, like, all the previous documents from when he was not charged back in 2007, when the Justice Department entered that really controversial non-prosecution agreement that, you know, paved the way for him to be able to abuse dozens more girls over the course of the remaining years before he was again charged by the Justice Department under the first Trump administration. I mean, I think that there's a lot of real looking back and seeing what was the Justice Department going through, what were they considering, and why they ended up not seeking, you know, their own criminal case against him on sex trafficking charges. And then also, you know, obviously everybody in the world is going to be looking for any other images, pictures, evidence of high-profile associates of Jeffrey Epstein to see if there's anything incriminating about people. We've seen, you know, the collapse of people like Prince Andrew overseas just because of his associations with Jeffrey Epstein, the collapse of Harvard President Larry Summers. It's just the volume of people who did associate with him, even if after it was known that he was, you know, doing inappropriate and often unlawful things with young girls. It's really served to taint a lot of people's reputation, and I think that for most people is going to be what they're looking for.
ABC News Justice reporter Alex Mell, and we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
More Epstein files released as the Trump DOJ deadline hits. It's 2:49. Stories of the Strange coming up next.
It's Friday, which means it's time for Stories of the Strange on Wisconsin's Midday News.
All right, Jessica, I'm going to set up my story of the strange today first with a question for you. Have you ever seen the movie Blazing Saddles?
Oh, I don't think so, actually. Does that disappoint you?
Yeah. not at all. I mean, Mel Brooks isn't for everyone. You think Young Frankenstein, but 1974's Blazing Saddles, comedy classic. I've watched it many times. And
you love it, I can tell.
There's a moment from the movie that sets up our story nicely here.
What is it that's not exactly water, mm-hmm. and it ain't exactly earth? Quicksand!
Yes, indeed. So this idea of getting trapped in quicksand, I think oftentimes when we were growing up as kids, when you watched movies or TV shows, led you to believe that it was always going to be one of those things you had to be watching out for in when you'd in fact never almost ever encounter it in actual real life, not helped by guys like Bear Grylls trying to explain how to get out of it.
This could be lethal quicksand. Fall into this and you'd be in big trouble. I'm going to show you how to get out of it alive.
Yeah, with no do not try this at home thing at the front end, by the way.
That was dramatic.
But it all sets up a real life scenario involving that dastardly quicksand that happened just this past week. We head to Utah, to specifically Arches National Park, a gorgeous park in our nation's southwest. Dozens of those sandstone arches you see on the postcards, a million plus visitors a year. And that list of visitors includes an unnamed hiker who last week was traversing a small canyon as part of a 20-mile backpacking trip when he sank up to his mid-thighs in some quicksand because water is low in the park this time of year, but the sand around some of those canyons still very wet, and so you have these patches of real-life actual quicksand that you have to watch out for. So this man is now stuck up to his upper legs in quicksand. What is a man to do? Well, enter the hero of our story.
Well, I was just rolling out of bed. It was about 7:15 in the morning when the pager went off.
That's first responder.
The pager? The pager went off?
Yeah, that was the first thing.
What are we, in the 80s?
We're still using pagers to wake up in the morning. That is first responder John Marshall, who spoke with the Associated Press and says he coordinated the hiker's rescue.
He's trying to dig himself free with the shovel that was supplied by the Park Service, but it was every time you take a shovel full of material out of the hole, you know, the wet sand just flows right back in. So it's kind of a never-ending battle.
You know what this reminded me of was, remember Deep Thought, the boat stuck on our lake?
Do I remember Deep Thought?
Be
who
a
can
year.
Forget it?
Yeah, and, but all the muck and sand and water that was in the bottom,
yeah.
They tried to power wash
couldn't
it out.
Couldn't get the boat out.
And it was still stuck there. Sort of similar here. So how, you may ask, did John and the rescue crew get the hiker free?
We were collectively able to dig faster than Mother Nature could try to refill in the hole. One of the search and rescue members, I believe her name's Molly, she reached down there, threw the muck and the goo, grabbed his ankle and started pulling as they're shoveling. And next thing you know, his foot comes free and he's free.
And then rescuers warming this hiker up until he could stand. Because remember, it's December. So not only do you have near freezing muck, but also temperatures in the 20s. Is basically lower half of his body completely numb. But he warmed up. And if you can believe it, Jessica, he hiked off on his own. He just walked away from all of this, did refuse medical help. And went about his hike.
Well, hold on for a moment. Let's just say, way to go, Molly.
Yeah, shout out to Molly. I think I should have pitched this to WTMJ's Eric Bilstad. Could have had an everyday hero as part of this. But congratulations. Everyone's safe. Everyone's great. So, but watch out for the quicksand, apparently.
Ah, good stuff right there. Thank you so much for joining us for Wisconsin's Midday News. We hope you have a fabulous weekend, and we'll see you back here on Monday.